Chapter 39, How the Caravan Traveled Along the Path of Meditation. For 2 days and 3 nights, the black storm howled. The food was full of sand. They all had to blow their noses continually. And Christian's and Big Tiger's skin now looked exactly alike. Even brown-skinned Gunchuk looked like a yellow sandman. How much longer will it last? Asked Christian on the morning of the third day, as they drank their tea and chewed their millet, crunching the sand between their teeth. Why should things change? Asked Affliction. Heaven and earth are united. It is the image of peace. As for me, I'm having a very good time. And he wiped a collection of sand from the corners of his eyes. It couldn't be better, agreed Good Fortune, ironically. He was able to sit up straight again, and with care could even put on his hat. All the same, said Gunchuk, I'll ride home today. Don't be rash, Good Fortune warned, for he noticed Gunchuk shaking the last fodder beans out of the sack. Only heaven knows how it's going to turn out. The sun will be shining by midday, asserted Gunchuk. I'll go. That's fine, cried Christian. Then we'll be able to ride on. Are you in such a hurry? Asked Good Fortune. Yes, we are, said Christian, because the Amma is waiting for me, and Big Tiger has to go back to school. And what about your school? My teachers are all right, explained Christian. But when I asked only one day off for Big Tiger, his teacher said he was sorry for him. Good Fortune stood up and looked out. He came back, highly excited. Come on, he cried. The storm is abating, and the sun is coming out. I see no end of the storm, said Affliction. He had just turned back to the tent when, with one stroke, everything changed. It was as if an ugly curtain had suddenly been drawn back, or the conductor of a brass band had laid down his baton in the middle of a piece. The horns and trumpets were silent, the fanfares no longer blared, and the big drum ceased to roll. From the rim of the rocky basin beamed a blue, windless, sunny sky. Only in the distance, a sinister grayish-yellow wall rolled eastward. At the bottom of the valley, the camels were grazing as if storm and sunshine made no difference. With them were four brown animals with white bellies and curious long ears, which they pricked up as they looked over fearlessly. What are those? Asked Christian. Wild asses, said Affliction, the last creatures in the world. We shall ride at midday, said Good Fortune. While they all took off their clothes and shook out the sand, Good Fortune asked Gunchuk casually, Have you got a message for me? I have, said Gunchuk as he emptied his boots. Moonlight sends you greetings, and Thunderbolt begs his younger brothers to think kindly of him. Does he mean you too? Asked Good Fortune. He must, admitted Christian, embarrassed. A certain relationship has arisen, explained Big Tiger. My, won't your worthy parents be pleased, said Good Fortune. Your grandfather will be particularly charmed. I hope for grandfather's approval, said Big Tiger. He loves both the usual and the unusual virtues. There are some very unusual virtues there, Good Fortune assured him. But as I'm no judge of the virtues, I reserve judgment. Speak on, Gunchuk. You have a good road before you now, continued Gunchuk. 10 li north of here, there is a path which is little used. You will hardly meet a soul on it, and so you will travel pleasantly. There is even a well here and there. A magnificent route, muttered Good Fortune. It is a road of fasting and meditation, Gunchuk explained. The pilgrims who go to Lhasa use it. After 5 days, you will reach a magnificent place. It is called Ika Gul, the big river. There are real trees and grass there, and good water, and a man who speaks little. What's his name? Asked Good Fortune. He is called Tolus, answered Gunchuk. More I do not know. He must be a criminal, said Good Fortune. He was unwise, admitted Gunchuk, and so something happened to him. Better still, muttered Good Fortune. It's not often one meets such fine company. Take care now you don't acquire a new relation, he said, turning to Christian and Big Tiger. We will be very reserved, promised Christian. They set out at the hour of the sheep, the note says 1 to 3 p.m. The sun was shining brightly and warmly, the air was absolutely still, and the boulders lay about the valley called Nameless, as if they had always lain there. Only the newly broken parts glistened, and the little stream formed pools here and there, which trickled away. "Yabona!" cried Gunchunk gaily. He was mounted on the gray piebald and was driving the other three horses before him. "Yabona!" cried Christian and Big Tiger. They rode together through the narrow pass until they reached the valley which led to the height. There they parted. "You'll get to the path of meditation in a good hour," said Gunchunk. "Words are poor things," said Big Tiger. "All the same, I beg you to give our greetings to your father Nidong and Seven Stars." And Christian said, "You're not me, but I wish I were you, for then I could see Seven Stars again." "I'll give them all your greetings," promised Gunchunk. "May Old Picture Sheet live 1,000 years," cried Good Fortune, and then they parted. On the high plateau which they now crossed, the trail had been wiped out by the storm. The tips of a few tamarisks showed above the waves of sand, and the cracks in the ground were filled with sand, like plowed furrows after a snowfall. In the blue sky, the eagles were soaring again. The camels were treading the first tracks in the sand, and everything was as fresh as if life were beginning anew. Christian and Big Tiger were very happy. Now they were a real caravan, traveling through the desert without even a track before it. True, Good Fortune was turning north to find the path of meditation, but in spite of this, they were venturing into the unknown like the great adventurers of past ages. Moreover, they were sitting on real camels, and the water was gurgling in the water cask. They rode thus for more than an hour. The landscape remained the same, for the plateau was large. Only at the edges rose sharp mountain peaks. Suddenly, Good Fortune headed westward. Turning round in the saddle, he said, "Every high road leads to Peking. Every narrow path leads to Lhasa." And a note says, "The capital of Tibet and a renowned place of pilgrimage." So they were now on the path of meditation. Apparently, it was also a path of concealment, for Christian, who was last in the file, only saw it when he turned his camel. It was a mere shadow, a wavering thread, which ran towards a distant mountain ridge, and they rode along following this thin shadow of a path. The mountain ridge, which seemed at the end of the world, and so far away it could not be reached before the next day at the earliest, changed color after only 3 hours. It loomed higher, and they could see that it was not blue, but yellow and gray like the desert. But the streams of stones which tumbled from its ravines were light, almost white, and the path went up the biggest of these boulder-strewn slopes. There it was lost, and one could only hope that it would appear again later. "Halt!" ordered Good Fortune. "We'll make camp." "Bolna!" cried Christian joyfully. But then he realized that they had only marched a short stretch. He quickly counted up on his fingers the days which remained until the fourth day of the third moon. "We've still got 9 days," he whispered to Big Tiger, and Big Tiger replied softly, "It can't be helped." "It looks as if there might be water here," remarked Good Fortune. "Let the unlucky dog loose," Affliction advised. "He's not without talents." The poodle, when freed, did not understand what was required of him, so he just ran to and fro, barking joyfully. Good Fortune had meantime climbed the stony slope to see if the path continued above it. Affliction remained with the camels, and Christian and Big Tiger said, "Dog, come with us." They walked along the edge of the stream of stones until they came to a round open space overshadowed by a high rock. This space was as smooth as a floor and fringed with tamarisks. It was cold and dark in the shadow of the rock, but Big Tiger realized at once that a heavy stone which stood in the middle had not just rolled there by itself. Christian, too, noticed this and said, "Let's uncover the well." They rolled the stone aside, and as they were by now experienced old caravan men, they brushed away the sand before lifting the plank. Then they called Affliction. He came with the camels, and Good Fortune came too, for he had found the path of meditation again above the white stream of stones. "You've found an excellent place," said Good Fortune. "We'll pitch the tent here." "There's water here too," said Big Tiger. Our dog is full of wisdom. He's no ordinary dog, asserted Christian. They stood proudly beside the poodle, and as they had not exactly lied, they didn't blush. Then the blue tent was erected for the first time merrily and without haste. In the west, the sun was standing over endless jagged mountain peaks, or perhaps there were not mountains at all, but only hills or sand dunes looking like mountains, because there was nothing high with which to compare them. They were glittering magnificently, and the rim of the horizon was purple like that evening in Durban Mutt. The fiery orb of the sun glided slowly earthward. Then darkness fell, suddenly. Christian and Big Tiger went to collect the camels, which were nibbling the tamarisks, and the poodle went with them. They all worked like a well-trained team in which each man has his allotted task and does it without fuss. Good Fortune collected tamarisk wood and drew water. Affliction cooked noodles again, and Christian and Big Tiger watered the camels and tied them to the line. After they had eaten and the fire was still flickering softly, Good Fortune started to hold forth. "Well, the time has come," he began. "Excuse me," Affliction interrupted him. "Health comes first, and garlic is the best vegetable." He distributed cloves of garlic, and when they had all nibbled them, Good Fortune resumed. "The time has come for the moon to wane. Dim though its light is, it suffices to find the path of meditation. So we must get up soon after midnight and keep on the march till the forenoon, for the camels have to find their food on the road. It's not the pleasantest way to travel, but what does that matter?" "It doesn't matter a bit," cried Christian and Big Tiger eagerly, and they all lay down to sleep.